Do your favorite shoes or boots need repair? Austin Shoe Hospital is the go-to shop for quality shoe and boot repair. The master cobblers at our Texas family of shoe hospitals have been carefully repairing shoes, boots, handbags, and luggage for over a century. Shoe repair not only saves your favorites, but it also protects the environment. Visit your local Austin Shoe Hospital or access our craftsmanship from anywhere in the U.S. using cobblersdirect.com. That's cobblersdirect.com. If you can wear it, we can repair it. So what's in your closet?
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
Social media has been in the news an awful lot lately, hasn't it? And, you know, I think one of the aspects of this that isn't talked about as much is that nefarious people who have bad designs saw a good thing. Initially, I think social media was a fantastic thing. It brought a lot of people together. When Facebook was innocent, when Twitter was innocent, when Google was innocent. But once bad actors, in particular the left, once they discovered they could co-opt these good things, and turn them to their political advantage, and not, you know, it actually goes beyond political advantage. It goes to this idea that a lot of people on the left carry. We don't deserve opposition. They think we're perfect. We know which way to go. And anybody who opposes us, well, that's misinformation or disinformation or whatever the hell they want to call it. The left wing is arrogant. They don't believe in debate, and they're lazy, and they don't have any intellectual honesty. So they don't want to have to put in the work anymore to actually do some debating. They don't want to have to prove what they're saying is correct. Because frankly, I got to be honest with you folks, there is no example in human history where left-wing thought is of an advantage to humankind. It always ends up being in the crapper, always in the toilet. That's where left-wing thought always leads. And it's axiomatic that everything left-wingers touch turns to dust. Everything the left-wingers put their fingerprints on is completely destroyed. That is their legacy throughout human history. Left-wing thought, left-wing people, they destroy. They don't create. They destroy. So there's that aspect of all of this. And I guarantee you, my friends, there's going to be someone in the coming days on the left-wing, whether it be in the press or whether it be some sort of left-wing talk show host, they're going to say, well, the folks inside of government, they had to do this because Donald Trump was so bad. They had to abridge free speech because Donald Trump was so bad. The left will say that you conservatives are so bad for America that we had every reason to protect democracy to silence you because we couldn't allow your objections to us to ruin our democracy. Folks, wait for it. Just wait for it. They're going to try to rationalize what they did. And I have the perfect answer for that. As a matter of fact, it's a meme that's floating around social media. And it goes something like this. When you look throughout human history, tell me when you saw people who were censoring others, when you saw people who were using strong arm, thug, or illegal tactics to take away the voice of others. When were they ever the good guys? When were they ever doing the right thing? The answer is never. So with social media purely in focus, why not check in with one of the social media platforms out there not taking away your free speech? Devin Nunes, the head honcho at Truth Social. He pays a visit to the Salcedo Storm podcast next.
And now a word word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Why get your news from people who don't share your values? Get news stories from Texas Scorecard. We provide real news for real Texans. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
All right, folks, let's get to our guest, Devin Nunes. He is the former conservative California congressman and is the current CEO of Trump Media and Technology Group. Sir, welcome back.
Chris, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
A belated Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas to you, sir. And let's dive in. I'm going to start off in your current business because, and again, I hate bringing you on to talk about stuff that you're, frankly, your competitor's up to, but Twitter just came out with these recent revelations. Elon Musk has just confirmed in recent days that Twitter did what we all knew they did, that they interfered in the 2020 election and past elections. Your thoughts?
Well, it's like you said, it's stating the obvious. I mean, we all knew this. It was, and now it's really up to what will Elon release. So is he going to show the goods or not? So, you know, President Trump and myself, I mean, we've been very supportive. We think that, you know, the whole ecosystem, I always like to tell people, I didn't need a new job and President Trump sure as hell didn't need a new company. But you've got True Social and Rumble standing here in the breach. And good thing a guy like Elon came in and bought out that company. He paid a lot for it, but he got rid of those woke weirdos. And now he's got a lot to fix. And so, and remember, you know, the competition, we've never seen Twitter as the competition. I mean, the real competition is with Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where the eyeballs are. And so, you know, we're really have to develop a product that goes after that. But for as far as Elon goes, Chris, he's got to show us the goods. Like talk is nice. It's, you know, good for headlines, but you know, look, I'm kind of putting myself in my old role, but you know, he needs to turn all over all that information. He should make it all public and turn it all over to Congress.
You know, and well, speaking of your old role, I mean, social media has become so much a part of the landscape. And I was just having this debate, believe it or not, with my mother-in-law, and she actually kind of said the same thing because she doesn't follow this as closely as you and I do, but she was like, okay, so he gets out there and he says it, so what's going to happen? I go, well, I don't know that Twitter interfering in the election is necessarily illegal. It's certainly disreputable and should have undermined people's faith in that product, but I don't know that it's illegal. So what guideposts do you think would be within the conservative realm of government's role to make sure that protected free speech cannot be stifled by a private company? What could we do?
Well, the big question, Chris, is you're right over the target, and so is your mother-in-law. But the question is, what did the government do to suppress the information?
Yeah,
I mean, that's like who was in there? I mean, we've heard stories, right, that they've got these agents, informants, what have you, that are inside of these companies. I mean, we've even heard at Twitter they had even foreign influence inside of Twitter. I'm sure. I mean, look, I was a guy that worked in intelligence for a very long time, and I can tell you that, you know, it would be a, you know, Facebook, Meta, Twitter, they would all be top targets if I was an intelligence guy working for an adversarial country. I'd for sure want to get in there because they've got everybody's data. I mean, Google for that matter. So anyone who can get the keys to the kingdom where they're sitting on all of this data is, you know, data is key today, right? Intelligence. Yeah. I mean, data is intelligence ultimately.
Well, Fauci just got grilled by a couple of AGs. Where was it? In Louisiana and was it Nebraska? The AGs there, he just got grilled because of his collusion with using the government pressuring big tech to silence dissent in the medical community with the China virus protocols. So when government, there has to be guardrails for government. I agree with you there. But with these companies now that are so influential, so rich and so powerful, and as Twitter demonstrated, as it admitting to now, they have the ability to move elections. They should be at least forced to play by the established rules of the road. And I'm talking Section 230. They should be forced to do that, right?
Yeah. So it gets complicated. So let's try to take it from the top of the most important.
Yeah.
So between Truth Social working with Rumble, we built a totally separate ecosystem that is essentially a fortress against big tech that we can't be. They've tried to shut us down. They can't shut us down. Except we've got two big problems. One is we have to be in the Apple App Store and we have to be in the Google Play Store because those two companies control 95% of the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, it grows every day. More and more and more people are on their phones. They're on their phones. I mean, it's why Newsmax has an app. It's how they listen to your podcast. It's the way it's good, and it's moving rapidly. And, you know, the old, you know, rabbit ears to cable TV to talk radio, that stuff's over. And people are using their handheld devices. And we're beholden to the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store, plain and simple. And I think that's where you start. You know, is that okay? Like, if they're going to threaten people, you know, we had a hell of a time trying to get onto these stores, right? We didn't get on the Google Play Store. Everybody thinks we've been open. We haven't been fully open except for like the last 6 weeks. So since we got on the Google Play Store. So I think that's where Congress would have to focus on if indeed these companies are going to have different rules for different people based on politics. And I think that's really the question. Are you going to have like, look, it's fine if you're going to say, look, we don't want child porn. Okay, great. I mean, we don't want child porn on Truth Social. But if Apple and Google both don't want child porn, they got to enforce it against everybody, not just against some companies, right?
I agree.
And I'm using child porn as the extreme example, but you know, let's say they don't want, you know, porn in general, or they don't want, you know, certain, you know, anti-Semitic statements, whatever it may be. That's great, but you got to enforce it equally across the board. And if not, then you're picking winners and losers, and therein lies the monopolistic problem.
Yes, the monopolistic problem, and this idea of using your company again to silence dissent. And right now, Twitter is facing getting thrown off of the Apple Store because they're daring to introduce free speech. Is it fair of me to say that Apple and Google are anti-American free speech, are anti-American Constitution? Is that fair?
Well, look, I'll say this, and look, just in the last hours, there's been breaking news that, you know, now Elon Musk has been to Apple, met with Tim Cook, et cetera, et cetera. So we got to be careful, you know, kind of the old story of the first three reports in war are wrong, right?
Yes.
So we don't know exactly what happened, but now it appears like they've all kissed and made up. I can just tell you from my limited experience, only been out of Congress, you know, here for, you know, 10, 11 months. Apple's been no problem to work with from the very beginning. So we've had no issue with Apple. And that's why I find it kind of, you know, I don't necessarily find it hard to believe, but I just doubt that Tim Cook threatened to take Twitter off the App Store. I don't believe that because, you know, all of these companies have gotten beat up pretty good. You got the Republicans coming back into Congress, and they got beat up when they nuked Parler from the planet, 30 different companies, roughly,
yeah.
All these big tech companies completely ruined and destroyed Parler. And I was one of the early adopters to Parler. And, you know, that's still a travesty in American history that hasn't been fixed. And those companies all ruined that company. It was a $1 billion company and they destroyed it.
Yeah, there needs to be a reckoning for that. There really does need to be a reckoning for that.
There should be. And that's why, Chris, just, you know, my political, you know, kind of, I don't know how family friendly your podcast is, but you know, just my kind of BS meter went off when I hear, wait a second, Apple's going to cancel Twitter. Come on.
No, that's fair.
I mean, look, I just don't, if it's true, Tim Cook and Apple have lost their minds.
Yeah. No, well, you know what?
I mean, it would be crazy with Republicans coming back in, knowing what they just did two short years ago, less than 2 years ago, what they did to Parler. If they were really doing this to Twitter, I don't know. Look, I'm not, we just don't know, Chris. We're not in the room.
Okay, I got you. I understand. And I don't like having anybody being the gatekeepers of anybody else's free speech. As an American, I find that offensive. So I'm hoping that cooler heads and pro-American thought prevails on all social media scores, Truth Social in particular and included. Devin Nunes is the former conservative California congressman, current CEO of Trump Media and Technology Group, and he's a great guest and a good friend of the Salcedo Show on Newsmax and the Salcedo Show on KSEV, and we're pleased to have him here. Let me pivot to politics. Actually, I don't know if you can call this politics. This is geopolitics. You're very much aware of what's happening over in China. And I just got to be honest with you. I'm distressed that I, as an American, a conservative American, have to pray that my biggest hope to maintain my freedom is that this burgeoning revolution over there takes hold and is successful, because I am confident my current government, headed by the Democrats, and the current Republican opposition to Democrats, are not up to the challenge of standing up to communist China. How do you feel about it?
Look, the silence is really deafening here, right? You've got so many big issues, with China being one of the biggest, and yet you've got still the focus by the fake news on whatever Donald Trump did and, you know, how to attack Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
China, yeah, big problem. And we'll come back to that, but just quickly go down the list. I'll probably forget some, but these are just off the top of my head, and I don't do this every day like I used to, Chris. But you've got a war in Ukraine that we've invested, I don't know, $100 billion or something into now. We've got, you know, I say we, the U.S. government. We have an energy crisis where we just cut a deal where we're going to start buying Venezuelan oil again. They're trying to cut a deal with Iran. We've got skyrocketing inflation. We've got housing prices, interest rates that have skyrocketed. I mean, we've got a healthcare crisis. Plus, we have $30 trillion plus in debt. And so there's all of these things going on, yet nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about it in the fake news. And so you've got China, who is without a doubt our number one competitor globally. They've made no bones about it that they want to take us out as the world's reserve currency. And here you have what seems to me, from the first few reports, seems to be one of the biggest uprisings in the last 30 years. I think it's somewhat 33 years since Tiananmen Square. I was a young man then, I was a teenager then.
Me too.
And so the fact that this should be, and look, I go back to those days, the times of that Tiananmen Square, Chris, I still remember that, because it was all over all the news. And remember, back in those days, there was only like 5 news channels.
Right.
And they were fake news channels. They were left-wing news channels. And it was wall-to-wall coverage of the Tiananmen Square massacre.
Right. At least they had the pretense of being American and being free. But this administration's response is, quote, we're not going to speak for the protesters. And I was sitting there going, man, I can remember when the guy who sat in the Oval Office unequivocally said, America stands for people yearning to breathe free. We stand for oppressed peoples who are suppressed by their government. And we don't have that now. And even the opposition party to Joe Biden isn't saying that right now.
Exactly. And where is, I mean, this should be the only thing being discussed right now on all major news channels. This is an adversary, as you know, that wants to take out America. So why, when you have something like this happening, would we not be, I don't mean you got to like declare war and try to start some war in China, but we at least ought to be to your point that, you know, what Xi Jinping is doing over there is unacceptable, and that these protesters should not be being, people should not be being locked in their homes or in all the things that you hear. I mean, we don't know what the truth is. That they're protesting for.
Well, yeah.
And look, we let them get away with it in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
We let them get away with it just, you know, with the Afghanistan debacle pull out, right? So all of this is adding up on the Biden administration. And look, one has to just wonder. You had the silencing, going back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show here. The Hunter Biden laptop was censored.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to ask yourself, what do the Chinese have on the Bidens?
Well, right. And poll after poll after poll in the country says that Americans, the majority of Americans, believe that Joe Biden and his regime are compromised by communist China. I believe it. And I'm in the majority. Now, you said something a moment ago about the long term plans of China. I'm going to be speaking with, on a subsequent Salcedo Storm podcast, one of the creators of The Final War. It's from the Epoch Times. If you haven't seen it, you've got to. And it's basically, you probably know what the gist is. This is the 100-year plan that China has had in place to basically take down the United States. And they're implementing it. And I've just, and you said also another phrase, that the silence is deafening. And again, it's not just the silence from the Democrat majority or the Democrat in the White House. It is also the Republican leadership in this country has Mitch McConnell stopped down to condemn Donald Trump the other day for having dinner with Kanye West and a guy that I'd never even heard of before, instead of condemning the Chinese government locking people inside of an apartment building while it was on fire and having them burn alive because of anti-China virus protocols. Congressman, what has happened to us?
Do your favorite shoes or boots need repair? Austin Shoe Hospital is the go-to shop for quality shoe and boot repair. The master cobblers at our Texas family of shoe hospitals have been carefully repairing shoes, boots, handbags, and luggage for over a century. Shoe repair not only saves your favorites, but it also protects the environment. Visit your local Austin Shoe Hospital or access our craftsmanship from anywhere in the U.S. using cobblersdirect.com. That's cobblersdirect.com. If you can wear it, we can repair it. So what's in your closet?
Well, look, I think, you know, we'll probably talk about this on your show tomorrow, I'm sure, on your TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked about this over the last few weeks, Chris. This whole appointment of the special counsel, okay, to target President Trump, to target the Republican, it's a target on the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And the people out there that have not condemned this, Republican leaders, should be ashamed of themselves. And we discussed a little bit earlier all the problems. We went through the whole litany of problems, China and Russia, you know, the Ukraine mess. I mean, all of that we talked about, the debt. We have a two-tier justice system in this country. We just had the Biden administration appoint a special counsel against someone who announced for president. And look, I get it. Look, it's a free country. Republicans can have like a great primary. Everybody can run. But the fact that Republicans in unison aren't coming out and saying what the Biden administration doing is wrong, I think is a problem. And I think their priorities have to really be examined here, that they're going to allow Trump. And look, I get it. Some people don't like him. That's right. It's a free country. But isn't 6 years or 7 years, whatever the hell it's been, isn't that enough?
I know. I'm right there.
Isn't it enough?
I'm so with you.
And so, look, I have no use for any Republican leaders. And look, a lot of these guys are my friends. I mean, I know almost all of them. Yeah. I worked with them. And if you're not out condemning this and saying that, no, the Department of Justice is completely corrupt and this has gone on too long, if you're not making that a priority, then your priorities are misplaced. And I think it's the same point. I mean, you asked about China, same thing. Like, what are you going to talk about Kanye West? As you said, it's totally ridiculous. I mean, I know exactly. President Trump's been very clear on Truth Social. You know, he feels like Kanye West needs help, which I think any logical thinker would look at Kanye West and say, yeah, the guy probably needs some help. He's been a major player in this country, a major artist, a major, you know, artistic genius in this country for many, what, I don't know, 20 years. And the guy needs some serious help, and he's had a friendship with Donald Trump. So for Donald Trump to have dinner with him, and that's what you're talking about. That's what the fake news is talking about.
I know.
And I think you're exactly right. And now, of course, it's always the second story that comes out. It always comes out. Trump didn't know who the hell this other guy was. I didn't even know who the hell the other guy was.
I had no idea. I had to do the research. And yeah, is he back guano crazy? Absolutely, he's back guano crazy. But again, if this were the only thing going on in America, I think to your broader point, Congressman, then yeah, it's news. Fine, let's talk about it. But man, there is an avalanche of real world substantial issues that are confronting not just American life, humanity in general. And then there's this guy who's supposed to be the alleged serious guy, Mitch McConnell. We all nickname him the Turtle. Thank you, Rush Limbaugh. That was one of your many great contributions to this country, that nickname. But here's Mitch McConnell, who spent the 2022 midterms, what I call the red fizzle, wandering around the country, endorsing Republicans who were A, promoting Democrats, B, saying they were openly voting for Democrats, or C, saying that they are turning against Republicans to support the Democrat Party. So Mitch McConnell's priorities have been to support the Democrat Party, and he was just voted leader of the Republicans. What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, look, I've known Mitch McConnell a long time. Okay. So, and it's always hard, I've worked with him.
Yeah.
But look, and I think I said this on your television show. I mean, I just don't know how, I did so many elections, so many races that I ran and that I supported candidates across the country. And look, you go in and you raise the flag for your candidates, right?
I know.
Even if you know it's a tough district and the Republicans trying hard and may not be a perfect candidate, but you know what? You go in there and you appreciate that somebody had the balls to step out there and run, yeah, right? They
right.
stepped up, they ran, they left their livelihood to go out there and risk it all to run. And I've always thought that as a, and look, and I was not the leader of the Republican Party. I was at the top of the leadership, but I wasn't the leader. But I always knew, even as my, in my spot, you don't go out and trash those people. Yeah. And that's what I have trouble with. It's that never at any leadership level within the Republican Party should you trash one of your candidates.
No, I get it.
Because you know what? It takes a lot to get out there and run.
Look, I know you've established these.
And people ought to know that.
You've established these relationships with these guys, and I get that. So let me just, this might make it easier for you, because here I am a guy. I'm a conservative. I'm a guy. And I want to support people. I want to believe in people. I believed in you when you were in Congress. Still believe in you in your capacity. I believe in Jim Jordan. I believe in Ted Cruz. So here's Chris Salcedo, conservative voter. Please support the Republican Party. Well, what are you about? Well, I'm about supporting Democrats.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the, I mean.
No, I get it.
What the hell am I supposed to?
That's my point, and I'm not, I'm just sitting here shaking my head. I just, 8 weeks, whenever the hell that happened, I can't remember, but McConnell went out and he trashed the, or whatever. He said that
Murkowski.
He didn't have good candidates or something like that.
Murkowski.
I don't understand it.
Yeah. I'm Murkowski.
I just don't.
She's voting Democrat, and Mitch McConnell gives her $9 million. She's out there with a message. I'm voting Democrat. Liz Cheney got the support of Mitch McConnell. I'm out there endorsing 3 Democrat candidates and campaigning for them. I mean,
yeah.
That was the Republican message. In the wave election, that was the Republican leadership message, and then they blamed Donald Trump.
Look,
I
get it, and I'm actually talking about the candidates that we had in Arizona and Pennsylvania and Georgia.
Yeah.
It's like those are like, wait a second, they won primaries, tough primaries. They all got through primaries. They're our candidate. You have to support them. And to me, as a guy from the outside now. Like that's, I would have never been like, if I had done that in my position, say, I don't really like this guy. I think he kind of sucks. Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
you don't get to do that. And that I think is the point you're making. And the point that I just am shaking my head at. Like, I know that as a Republican leader, you can't trash your own guys.
True. And then
there's
nothing
wrong with these guys. I mean, look, Oz is not perfect. Blake Masters is not perfect. Herschel Walker is not perfect. Guess what?
Nobody is.
I was never perfect.
Nobody is.
Okay?
Yep.
I mean, we all have faults. But I'll tell you what, I'll line up those guys, Oz and Herschel Walker and Blake Masters, against any candidates that we've ever had. I think all in all, they were good.
I'd put them up against any Democrat, any socialist. Absolutely.
But even historically, they're good candidates.
Well,
I mean, they're in their own right. I mean, they've got name ID. They're they've got, for Oz, he was a telegenic guy. I mean, look, you don't agree with all the positions, but what all I'm saying is like on the whole of it, like, hey, I like those cards. You know, if I'm given those cards playing poker, they're pretty good cards to play with in an election.
Well, I
and to go out there and trash those guys, I don't understand it.
Yeah, trashing the guys and the message. Look, you had Paul Ryan, who had the gall to get on television and say, yeah, well, Trump was responsible for us losing the House, even though he was the speaker at the time. Oh, but it was never his or Mitch McConnell's fault. He's been doing several interviews trashing President Trump. He's saying, if we have Trump, we lose. But see, from the conservatives' perspective, if we have guys like Paul Ryan, we lose. If we have guys like Mitch McConnell, we lose. Mitch McConnell's been in Congress for 18 years. This guy is still standing in the way of Republicans solidifying around an alternative to Obamacare. He is the main obstacle to a unified opposition to Obamacare. He is not an idea man. He has no big, broad ideas to grow freedom and liberty and constitutionality. That's just not who Mitch McConnell is. And it's about time we had this come to Jesus moment and recognize, look, you had some architects of the red fizzle, and Donald Trump was nowhere near that. He wasn't in government. He wasn't in an official capacity. He was just a private citizen out there campaigning. That's all he was doing.
Well, and not only that, Chris, and I would just add, and this is important too. We've never had anyone like Donald Trump, you know, former president, go out there and work his ass off like he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he went out and he recruited candidates. You know, even places where he didn't win, you know, he supported somebody else. He went and endorsed the person that he, you know, that beat his candidates, you know, in a primary.
90% victory, by the way. 90% victory record, by the way, for his endorsements.
But he worked his ass off.
Yeah, and, he did.
And look, in the Senate committee, okay, they raised all the money that they raised. It was because people felt like they were giving money to Donald Trump. It wasn't because they were giving money to anyone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I just think, you know, look, we're all men and women, and we all have plenty of faults, like we said earlier.
True.
And Donald Trump has plenty of faults. And what's funny is he publicly admits them sometimes, even though the press doesn't even talk about it. Yeah. But you know, he has plenty of faults. But I'll tell you where he's not at fault. He worked his ass off for these candidates.
Yep. A heck of a lot harder than Mitch worked, that's for sure.
And a heck of a lot harder than a lot of Republicans worked.
Well, you know,
that's what just makes no sense to me.
I've been jonesing to have that post-mortem talk with you for a long time, so I'm glad I got a chance to have that out with you and just get your perspective on it. Look, I want to pivot to some other things that I know that you and I both enjoy, spirits and wine and some adult beverages. I've just got to let you know that the next time you're in Texas, I haven't found it yet, but the distiller, Rebecca Creek Distillery, has just come out with a double aged bourbon, a whiskey blend actually, and the second 2 years or the last 2 years of its aging process was in dark Spanish oak, and from the guys tell me, I haven't seen it yet. I'm just putting this on your radar screen, Rebecca Creek Distillery. You know enough about this because I talked to you before we started recording that you know enough about whiskey and spirits to get in trouble. Just be on the lookout for Rebecca Creek Distillery double aged bourbon whiskey. Okay,
I will be. Are they friends of yours?
Well, they've been on the podcast twice. And,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and nice. Man, I learned more about the aging process. And the exciting news, and Texas Ranger is one of their signature brands that I fell in love with first. And of course, it happens to be this next year is going to be the 200th anniversary of the Texas Rangers law enforcement division. So they're going to have a commemorative set of bottles that are commemorating the Texas Rangers that come out for this whiskey. So it's just all good. I can hardly.
I have seen that before. And well, and as you know, I'm limited expertise is in wine. You know, I grew up on a farm and my grandfather grew grapes. And now I've been in the wine business for many years and I'm making my own wine now. So I can't wait to, I can't wait. It's we're going to be putting it in the bottle here in my first vintage. We're going to be putting it in the bottle here in a few months.
So that means 2 years from that time, or is it 3 years that you're going to?
No, well, it's already been. I'll probably be able to open it here in about a year.
In a year. So next Christmas, I might be able
next
to.
Christmas.
I might be able to get my hands on. Well, now, do you know what you're going to call it? What the label's going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be. It's really creative. I'm just going to call it Devin Nunes.
Well, at least,
I couldn't think of anything else, so I thought that was easy.
Well,
but look, it's just my wine. It's a small amount. It's not a major production. It's more of just something that I think we've talked about it before. But
how about
I'm
this?
Growing Portuguese varietals.
How about this?
So they're
Devin Nunes
Portuguese grapes.
Devin Nunes, the spirit, you know, double on quote spirit of liberty. How about that?
There you go. I can have a Liberty version.
There you go. Okay, so go ahead.
Instead of Reserve, I'll call it the Liberty.
The Liberty Reserve. So go ahead. Tell me. Explain about the grapes, where you got them. And
no, it's just interesting. You know, I've worked on this for a long time, and there's very few Portuguese varietals that are grown in California, but it's something that I've had a great interest in, and I'll have one of the few wines that are made of Portuguese grapes. So if you're familiar with, we were talking about spirits, and if you're familiar with port wine, these are the grapes that are used to make port wine, but they also make very good red wine.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it's something that I'm feeling pretty good about it right now, because we've had it in the barrel, we've been tasting it, and I think it's going to make a nice blend. And I hope that you will enjoy it next year for Christmas when I send you a couple.
I can hardly wait, and can hardly wait to promote it too. So you're saying it's a blend, so you're going to have this grape blended with what other grape?
No, there's actually three different Portuguese varietals.
Oh, okay, I got
you. There are three different grapes. The main grape is Touriga Nacional,
mm-hmm.
and then there's two small. The Touriga Nacional is probably the most widely known Portuguese grape, and that'll make up probably 75-80% of it. And then there's a couple other varieties that are lesser known. One is named Tinta Cal, and the other one is named Suzão. And those will make up the rest of the blend.
And so are they going to be American barrels, oak barrels, or European?
They are actually about two-thirds of the barrels were neutral barrels. I think they were American oak, but they were aged. They were older barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had two new barrels that I used of new French oak.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually I already pulled them out of the French oak. I pulled it off because the grapes are that good. And I didn't want the oak to change the flavor profile at all. So
understood.
I pulled it out and we're getting ready to bottle it here in a couple months.
So is it just going to go out to, are you going to use it for a fundraiser for a charity? Or are you just going to roll it out and just say, hey guys, try it, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's small production. I mean, I am getting my own label, getting my own license and all of that. And I'm probably just going to go to my buddies and hopefully they'll like support me enough so I can continue my hobby. Before my wife shuts me down. You know?
Well, you have.
But it's going to be a total. It's only going to be a few hundred cases. So
okay.
But it's going to be a lot of fun.
You have my promise. I will promote the heck out of it. You know. As a matter of fact, you know, I may even if you send me a couple bottles, I might even like make a contest and say, look, I'll take down the names of our contest winners. And then maybe you can send them out a bottle or something like that, or we can cover the shipping. However, we need to work it out, just so we can get it out there and promote it. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really excited about it. It's a cool project that I've believed in a long time, and you know, because most people know California, if they know the Napa wines,
sure.
for basically trying to compete with Bordeaux's, with Cabernets. And then on the Central Coast, which is kind of famous for the movie Sideways, back in the day, if you remember that movie.
I do.
They're known for Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
But in Paso Robles, they've kind of been in this flux of in between everything. So they grow cabs in Bordeaux, but they're really good, but they haven't been able to compete with Napa cabs. They do some Pinots, but they don't compete with, say, Santa Barbara Pinots. And they've gotten very good at some like Syrah and Grenache, some of the Rhone varietals, But I believe that these Portuguese varietals are going to just do really, really well there.
Well, last question on that is it, mm-hmm. is it atmospheric? Is it soil composition? What is it that makes them struggling so much to compete on the more, I guess, commonly known varietals?
Well, it's not that area doesn't compete there. It's the difference between being really good and being great.
Okay.
And that's the difference. Like Napa, the reason that Napa is so special is because Napa can compete with Bordeaux.
Okay.
With Bordeaux, France. I mean, without question. But the other areas, there's other really great areas that can also, they make really good wine, but they're not on the same level. But what I believe is that if you use the Portuguese varietals, they will compete with those very high-end grapes that you, you know, these regions, you know, it can possibly compete. You know, they're a little bit different wines, but they're similar, okay. Right? So, I mean, you'll know the difference, but it's going to be, you know, it's a very dark, it'll be a very heavy wine, you know, similar to what you have in a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Well, it's exciting, man. I love these types of new projects. We've been interviewing on the podcast a lot of guys who are just starting out with new innovative. Check out blindbarrels.com if you want to see an interesting marketing device. These guys at Blind Barrels are doing great, great things. I love that. I love the business model so much. I bought a subscription, so check it out. Devin Nunes, everybody. He is, again, a former congressman, a conservative from California. He is the current CEO of Trump Media and Technology Group and just a hell of a great guy to talk to, man. I appreciate the time you carve out for us always.
All right, Chris. Hey, man, I appreciate it. And yeah, thank you.
And that puts a wrap on this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor, kids. Check out a couple of websites. TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. Big news in Texas, big news around the country. And ChrisSalcedo.com. Track down the Chris Salcedo shows on KSEV in the morning on talk radio and in the afternoon on Newsmax TV. Always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Also, while you're at ChrisSalcedo.com, drop me an email, voicemail, or learn how to book me for a speech. So until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, or rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.
Do your favorite shoes or boots need repair? Austin Shoe Hospital is the go-to shop for quality shoe and boot repair. The master cobblers at our Texas family of shoe hospitals have been carefully repairing shoes, boots, handbags, and luggage for over a century. Shoe repair not only saves your favorites, but it also protects the environment. Visit your local Austin Shoe Hospital or access our craftsmanship from anywhere in the U.S. using cobblersdirect.com. That's cobblersdirect.com. If you can wear it, we can repair it. So what's in your closet?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.